Someone once said, "I only pray when I'm in trouble, but I'm in trouble all the time. And so I pray all the time." Saints, when life is good, we should remember to pray. When life is challenging, we should remember to pray. Come rain or sunshine, pray. Whether it floods or it's a dry season, remember to pray. Whether it's a blizzard or a heat wave, pray. Regardless of the season you're in, you are protected by your prayers. You are strengthened by your prayers.
Have you ever been in a state where you feel as though you've lost out on something? You might feel as though you've lost out on some opportunities that could have really impacted your life. You may feel as though you lost out on relationships that could have been of great benefit to you. Now, I've been here. I have been in this position, and I've had to pray. Lord, I've lost so much this year. I've lost out on so many things. Would you please restore that which I've lost? And saints, let me tell you, we do serve a God of restoration. In the Bible, a demon-possessed man had an encounter with Jesus Christ. A man who had a legion of demons had an encounter with the Lord, and he was delivered. Mark 5, verse 15 says, "Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." This was a man who would dwell in the cemetery. He was tormented and tortured by unclean spirits. The Bible says night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying out and cutting himself with stones. But when this man encountered Jesus Christ, he was restored. He was made whole. He was set free. Saints, we serve a God who restores. Now, Mark 5, verses 41 and 42 says, "Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, 'Talitha kumi,' which is translated, 'Little girl, I say to you, arise.' Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement." On this occasion, there was no life, but Jesus Christ, he is the giver of life. He restored life in the body of this young child. What I'm trying to put across to you is that you need to believe. You need to have faith. Jesus Christ restores. And so if you are there and your prayer is, "Lord, I need you to start turning things around in my life." If your prayer is, "Lord, I need favor to come my way. I need your goodness and mercy to begin chasing after me. Lord, I need good things to start coming my way. I need you to bring me into a new season. God, I need you to come through and prove the doubters wrong." If this is your prayer, I encourage you to read the Word of God. It says in Joel 2, verses 25 through 26, "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army which I sent among you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dwelt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame." I encourage you to hold on to 1 Peter 5, verse 10. It says, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you."
If I had to tell you my story, I would have to tell you that there was a time that I hit rock bottom. There was a time where I was flat broke, no hope, and things weren't looking bright for me. And to make matters worse, do you know what I did at that time? In my anger, in my rebellion, I turned my back on God. Where I should have been patient, I was rash and acted out of my own will. Where I should have had faith and let God be in control, I tried to control things. I did things my own way and chose the broad road because I felt there wasn't enough room on the straight.
Ready to roll into savings? Visit Dave Gill Chevrolet at 4700 East Broad Street in Columbus, your hometown Chevy experts. Right now, take advantage of tariff-busting deals on some of our most popular models. Experience the bold new 2025 Silverado 1500 with its powerful V8 engine and cutting-edge tech. Or discover the all-electric 2025 Chevy Equinox EV for an eco-friendly commute without compromising style or range. Looking for value? Browse our extensive inventory of certified pre-owned vehicles. From sporty coupes to family-friendly SUVs, each rigorously inspected for your peace of mind. Cruise over to Dave Gill Chevrolet or visit us online today at DaveGillChevy.com and drive home happy.
A narrow road. And for anyone who has ever tried to do things their way instead of God's way, when you do something when you know good and well that that's not God's will for your life, let me say from experience that it never works out. Ask Jonah. How did it work out for him when he tried to outrun God's calling? And so for me, life happened. After I ran, after I pulled away, after I ignored the conviction of the Holy Spirit in my heart, the Lord finally allowed a series of events that brought me to my knees. I was stuck in a situation where I knew deep down that I had to turn to Jesus. Life made me chase and seek after a power that is bigger than anything I had access to. My problems, as many as they were, made me seek divine intervention. Have you ever been in a place where nothing seems to be working and you know only Jesus can get you out of this place? A place with no natural resources, no doctor, no psychologist, amount of therapy, no friend can get you out of this situation, but only Jesus Christ. That's where I was. Where I once stood tall and relied on my own skills, my own resources, life took me to the feet of the Lord, asking for forgiveness, begging for mercy. I wasn't worthy, but I was still loved. I wasn't faithful, but I was still forgiven. And for anyone else who may be going through what I went through, for anyone else who may need this word of encouragement, I want to tell you that although you may be hard-pressed on every side, but you're not crushed. You might be discouraged, but you're not destroyed. Although you're perplexed, you have not been driven to despair. The bottom line is, regardless of how bad or messed up you think your situation is, you are not forsaken. Remember what the Word of God says about you. His plans for you are good. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So let me tell you, you are valuable. You are of more value than many sparrows. You've been saved by grace. You've been justified by faith. You see, you need to get to the point where you stop running from the call of God. There must come a time when you, as a believer, must decide, I will stand strong on my godly convictions. I will stand for forgiveness even when it's hard. I will stand in faith even when I can't see a way out. You may be under attack in your health. Maybe the attack is within your family or marriage. Even under attack, pray that the Holy Spirit will strengthen you. So I'm speaking to you, child of God. It's time to take a stand with the Word of God against the forces of evil. Stand in the authority of Christ, your Savior. When you stand and wait on the Lord, He will renew your strength. He will rescue you.
I've been through storms. I've felt pain. I've been hurt. I've asked God, where are you? And even though the storm was hard to go through, it taught me something. It taught me to trust in Jesus. It taught me to pray. It taught me to stand. With nothing left but faith, just faith. And like the song says, through it all, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I have learned to depend on His word. And guess what? He's never let me down. It's easy to be defined by one moment in life. Some people are defined by a failed relationship, a failed business venture, a divorce even, a career-ending injury. But in the Bible, the devil is called the accuser. And he would love to convince you that because of that one mistake, because of that one failure, because of that one season, you should begin to look down on yourself. But let me tell you that no matter the mistake you've made, God's plan will still prevail. God's will still be done. God knew your end from your beginning. He knew all of your highs and your lows. He numbered your good days to exceed your bad days. You might have failed, but you are not a failure. You might have had some bad choices, but that's not who you are. You might have an issue or two, but you are not your issue. And you see, the enemy, as an accuser, will constantly throw negative labels to try and define you. He'll call you things like an addict, a failure, a loser, a dropout. But the word of God calls you redeemed. It calls you a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You are washed and made clean by the blood of Jesus. You are healed by his stripes. You are the head and not the tail. Don't let the devil label you. He does not determine your destiny. Refuse the labels that other people try to stick on you. Never believe the lies of the accuser. You are not defined by your mistakes, but by what God says about you. You are forgiven. You are loved. You are saved by his amazing grace. So move forward. Your mistakes are in the past, and God is in your future.
Father God, we bow our hearts and lift our heads to look up to you, a merciful and loving God. In agreement with everyone listening, I rebuke the spirit of fear over our lives. The only spirit we welcome, the only spirit we invite into our lives, into our hearts and homes, is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, burn fear away in our lives. I pray for a holy fire that cleanses, a fire that burns everything that is not of God. The Bible states that God has not, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I declare in the name of Jesus, no spirit of fear will paralyze our thoughts and emotions. No spirit of fear will consume our hearts or trouble us in those moments when we're alone.
There are times we need to take authority over spiritual forces and be delivered and set free from the oppressive powers of the enemy. Since the beginning of time, the devil's been going around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And I want to make this very clear. Our enemy, the devil, is the accuser of the brethren. He is a liar, the father of lies. In fact, deception is his game, and he plays it well. Now, what he tries to do is, if he can get you to live in fear, he knows that he has won the battle. And over the years, I have come to know people, some believers even, whose lives were filled with a tormenting and fearful spirit. And I want you to understand that God does not put you in bondage, but fear does. God holds you in pure love, but fear will hold you in bondage. Remember Job? He said, "The thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." If you allow the spirit of fear to take root in your life, it gives birth to a lot of things. To live in fear is like being caught in a snare. It's like a bird caught in a net. And if your life is ruled by fear, you will be held captive in that snare, waiting for something that will never happen to happen. But I've got some good news for you. Can God deliver us from fear? Yes, he can.
Can the Lord Jesus give us freedom and peace? Yes, He can. Can the Lord be our shining light, a light that destroys the darkness of fear? Yes, He can. Speak over your life if you're feeling fearful. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So as a child of God, I need to come to the understanding that for me to be an effective servant in God's kingdom, I have to overcome fear. I have to believe what God's word says concerning fear. I have to believe who God says I am. Overcoming fear will help reach my potential and exercise my rights as a born-again believer and as a joint heir with Christ. Fear normally starts as a thought that grows and grows until it controls us. This thought can be from anything, but when you dwell on it, when you constantly think of it and relive it, it becomes a spirit of fear. It's important as a believer to guard our thoughts in order to overcome this spirit. Positive, godly thinking is encouraged, always. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, the Bible says. Meaning we have to be in control of our thoughts so that they don't stray. It's important to know that God is with you once you have received Jesus.
Have you ever been involved in a fight? A fight for your job? A physical fight? A fight for your relationship? We have all had to fight at some point. And one thing we need to realize is that every day, from the time that we wake up to the time that we sleep, we are in a fight. We are involved in a conflict. There is a struggle between good and evil. And that struggle is a spiritual battle, and it goes on every day. As we grow older and become more mature Christians, we're called to be equipped with the weapons that God has given us. And we are called to put on the whole armor of God. And the question I want to ask you is, have you answered that call? Have you answered the call to put on the whole armor of God? People of God, the very first thing we have to remember in this battle is that we have an unseen enemy. It's not a thief. It's not the nightmare neighbor from hell. It's not the workplace bully. Our unseen enemy can only be revealed in the spiritual realm. With the eyes of faith. He can only be identified through the spiritual eyes of discernment. And I want to inspire you today to rally you up and remind you that it is not God's will for us to be slain by evil. It's not God's will for us to be defeated.
Let's strive to leave our enemies to God. Vengeance is His. Our part is to be loving, regardless of whether they are an enemy or not. We are to remain kind. We are to remain loving. We're to remain humble. The promise that we must hold on to when it comes to our enemies is Psalms 23, verse 5, which reads, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." So your enemies might throw hate. They may gossip and spread lies about you. They may steal or sabotage you. But they can never, they will never, derail God's plan. If the Lord wants to elevate you, He'll do it in the presence of your enemies. If the Lord wants to promote you and lift you up, then saints, believe that he will do that in the presence of your enemies. Let God fight your battles. Someone once said, "I only pray when I'm in trouble, but I'm in trouble all the time. And so I pray all the time." Saints, when life is good, we should remember to pray. When life is challenging, we should remember to pray. Come rain or sunshine, pray. Whether it floods or it's a dry season, remember to pray. Whether it's a blizzard or a heat wave, pray. Regardless of the season you're in, you are protected by your prayers. You are strengthened by your prayers. Now, as a child of God, we have many enemies. We have the devil and his demons as an enemy. We have the world and the flesh as enemies. But I want you to understand that all of these enemies that we face as believers, they have one thing in common. They cannot win against the power of God. They cannot overcome the blood of Jesus. They cannot destroy you when you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Enemies are a part of life. As sure as the sun is in the sky, you will always have enemies. You will have opposition. You will have naysayers who come only to discourage. So to the believer who says, "I can't turn the other cheek," to the believer who says, "But my enemies deserve everything coming for them," well, here's what I would like to say to you. Yes, you have enemies, and enemies can most definitely present problems or challenges, but we are to love like Jesus. We are to forgive like Jesus. We are to love our neighbors like Jesus did. And what this means is summed up perfectly in Romans chapter 12. You see, verse 17 to 21 says, "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Saints, let's live in obedience to God's word. Let's strive to live like Jesus Christ. And that means we repay no one with evil. It means that as much as it depends on us as individuals, we are to live peaceably with all. The devil has been defeated and is defeated in the name of Jesus. The world and the flesh has no power, no hold over us as blood-washed saints of the Lord. And furthermore, we're told that if we resist the devil, he will flee. We are told that in Christ, we are dead to the desires of our flesh and are made alive in the Spirit. Jesus tells us not to fear the world because he has overcome the world. We have nothing to fear from these enemies. As long as we have God, his Spirit, and his Word, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And if there is one verse that I'd like for you to take away today, it's Psalms 34, verse 7, which reads, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." Another translation says, "For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him." Another reads, "His angel guards those who honor the Lord and rescues them from danger." The message here is that we have angelic protection when we fear God. We have angelic protection when we honor the Lord. Just think about an angel camping outside your home, or an angel working with you in close proximity as a bodyguard would. That's the level of protection offered. It's not physical. It's supernatural. It's not limited. It's divine. The backup doesn't need to be called over the phone and then require you to wait until they arrive. No, this level of protection is heavenly. Saints, God is with us. God is with us. And if He is with us, who can stand against us? Who can stand against Jesus? No one, no man, no demon, no devil. So fear not. We are protected. We are covered. We are secured.
When somebody insults us, our natural inclination is to insult them back rather than to bless them as Jesus instructed us to do. If somebody hurts us, our natural fleshly inclination is to hurt them back rather than to pray for them and turn the other cheek as Jesus commanded. We are constantly at war with our own flesh. However, if we are submitted to God and are filled with His Spirit, then the war has already been won. Our goal as believers should be to please God, not the world. But people of God, please understand that all of these enemies that we face as believers have one thing in common. They cannot win against the power of God. They cannot overcome the blood of Jesus. The devil has been defeated and is defeated in the name of Jesus. The world and the flesh has no power, no hold over us as blood-washed saints of the Lord. And furthermore, we're told that if we resist the devil, he will flee. We are told that in Christ, we are dead to the desires of our flesh and are made alive in the Spirit. Jesus tells us not to fear the world because He has overcome the world. We have nothing to fear from these enemies. As long as we have God, His Spirit, and His Word, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. If there's one message that I would want to give you in this season of uncertainty, in this season where fear is prevalent, in this season where the devil is trying to intimidate believers, if I could share with you just one message, it would be this. Now is not the time to give up or throw in the towel. It's not the time for you to throw up your hands and allow yourself to be defeated. I know it feels like times won't get better and that your life is in shambles, but trust in God. He can turn it around. I want to encourage you and let you know that despite what you are going through, God sees you and He hears your earnest cry. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, verse 13, "The Lord will make you the head and you will not be the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord, your God, that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom." You see, children of the Most High God, God loves and cares for His people. Despite what the enemy wants you to believe, God is still on the throne, loving and looking out for His people. I know it seems as if your world is falling apart and the enemy will lead you to believe that things will never turn around, but trust God. God loves us so much that we cannot be separated from His love by these small tests and trials. The enemy wants us to falter in our faith and allow his spirit of defeat to take over. But the devil is a liar, and he is the one that is defeated. The Bible says in Romans 8, verses 35 through 37, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written,
For your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Did you know that these trials of our faith come to make us strong? Yes, we as people of God must endure hard trials sometimes. We must grow in our faith, people of God. How can we expect to be able to know God and never experience truly knowing God? How can we be witnesses of His excellent mercy and kindness unless we experience it firsthand? How can we say that we love and serve a God that is more than enough if we don't experience His mighty hand of deliverance for ourselves? Just because we are children of the King does not mean that we will walk on a bed of roses. It doesn't mean that we get a get-out-of-jail-free card all the time. Sometimes we must endure hardship as a good soldier. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." The Lord wants us to be well-rounded. He doesn't want His saints to be spoiled brats. Can you imagine getting everything you wanted all the time? We would never be able to appreciate anything. We would be just like kids that always get what they want and then pitch a fit when we're told no. God does not want us like that. Being children of God does not make us immune to the sufferings of this world. This reminds me of a man in the Bible who feared God and walked uprightly before Him and hated evil. His name was Job. Job was very wealthy and had 7 sons and 3 beautiful daughters. He was a man with perfect character. He prayed for his family daily, even asking God for forgiveness of sins that they may have committed. Now, the adversary, as usual, hates the people of God. He cannot stand us and is always seeking whom he may devour. However, God loved Job and even bragged on him to the devil. He said that there was none like Job in all the earth. He was honest, hated evil, and was a man of absolute integrity. So, the devil told God, "Of course he does. He doesn't serve and fear you for nothing. You put a hedge about him and his house and everything he owns. You even blessed everything he puts his hands to do and made him very wealthy. If you take everything away from him, he will curse you to your face." The Lord told Satan, "All right, everything that he has is in your hands now. However, you are not allowed to take his life." Of course, the devil did his absolute worst. All in one day, Job lost his sons and his daughters, servants and cattle. Job couldn't even catch his breath because the bad news kept coming back to back. Do you know what Job did? He got on his knees and worshiped. He blessed the name of the Lord and did not sin or curse God. This made the devil even more angry, so he went to God again and asked, could he make Job sick? God allowed it, but told the devil again that he may not take his life. Of course, the devil did his worst and gave Job great boils all over his skin, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. It was so bad that even his wife told Job to curse God and die. He looked so awful that even his friends did not recognize him. In all of this, Job said, "Shall we only receive good from God and not bad?" Now, Job, being human, did feel sorry for himself and even cursed the day he was born. But in all of this, he still did not curse God. In the end, despite all that the adversary did to him, God blessed him with double for his trouble. He received more cattle than he had before, had more beautiful children, and all his wealth was increased even more. Sometimes this is just like what happens in our lives. Saints, God knows all and he sees all. Could it be that the Lord is testing your faith? Could it be that the devil sees how much you love God and the Lord himself mentions you by name because of your faithfulness to him? My brothers and sisters, we can do all things through Christ that gives us strength. We are more than conquerors through Christ that loves us. Thank God that He has provided us godly examples of real people in the Bible that have gone through the fire and came out as pure gold. It is because of examples like Job that helped give me hope during the testing of my faith. I know what it feels like to go through and feel like, when will it be my turn? Some of you right now are experiencing this very thought. I am here to encourage you and let you know to be of good courage, for God will strengthen your heart. God knows where you are, and He knows when you have suffered long enough. He will not allow you to continue to be on the bottom. He loves you too much. The Bible says that we are the head only and not the tail. We are above only and not beneath. Lift up your head, children of God, because He loves you and He wants to see you succeed. We may have to go through the fire and the flood, but rest assured that He sees you right where you are. Trust God and in His word. Stand firm on the promises of God. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Oh, what blessed assurance. I want you to know that we are not without hope, like the children in the world that do not know God. Your Father in heaven owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Your Father in heaven sits on the circle of the earth and judges the just and the unjust. The Lord your God is the one who called this earth into being and placed the stars in space. Don't you know the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous? We are not without hope, people of God. Jesus loves you and cares for you. He wants to see His people prosper. It gives Him joy when we are happy. Yes, we may have to cry sometimes, but trouble does not last always. So lift up your heads, saints of the Most High God. The best is yet to come. Don't give up.
Jesus, you are my advocate. Jesus, you are the cornerstone. Jesus, you are the great high priest. Jesus, you are the Holy One, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus, you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the author and the finisher. You are Almighty. You are the everlasting Father. All that He is in His name. For every problem I had, God had a name for that. Come on, somebody. Every problem that I had, God had a name for that. And if you're out there and you need redemption, He's a redeemer. If you need deliverance, He's a deliverer. If you need protection, He's a protector. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. If you need provision, He is a provider. For those who hunger, He is the bread of life. For those who thirst, He is the fountain of living water. It's in the name, somebody. It's in the name.
One of the best pieces of advice I've ever received was, take it to Jesus. Take everything to Jesus. I once went through a very dark time in my life, and I want to thank the Lord for planting godly men and women around me who encouraged me to seek Jesus rather than to seek an answer. I was encouraged to seek Jesus rather than to search for explanations. You see, the temptation we all face when we are in a challenging place is that we want to know how we got here, why God let this happen, and when God will make a way out. We want to rationalize everything and understand it all. But the truth we need to come to accept is that God does not have to explain Himself. He does not have to reduce Himself to do things in a manner that we can understand. The Lord has a completely different vantage point from all of us. He sees the past, He sees the present, and He sees the future. He sees the enemy's attacks. He sees our weaknesses and our flaws. He sees our hearts. God sees so much more than we will ever see. So we can't expect to understand the ways of an all-seeing God. We can't expect to understand the ways of an all-knowing God. We simply have to trust that God is faithful. God is good, and He is good all the time. God is loving and in control. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 to 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Now, I want to encourage you today and tell you that whatever your problem is, whatever your problem may look like, don't spend your energy looking for answers. Instead, spend your energy looking for Jesus Christ. Don't spend your energy looking for an explanation or trying to reason about why this happened or why it didn't happen. Instead, seek Jesus Christ. When God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, Abraham didn't spend his energy pleading with God not to take his son. He trusted God. When Paul and Silas were beaten, chained, and imprisoned, they didn't spend their energy trying to work out how exactly they got themselves in this predicament. No, they sought after the Lord. And so I am talking to you right now. If you are in a difficult place, trust the Lord. Take your problems to Jesus, because if you try to handle things on your own strength, you will find it impossible to win. You are not strong enough to live this life with your own strength. You are not wise enough to survive this life with your own wisdom. We need Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ. So focus on Him instead of the problem. Focus on Jesus instead of the mountain before you.
Acts 16. Verses 25 and 26 say, "But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so powerful that the very foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened." Oh, how important it is to remember that faith and present circumstances don't always go hand in hand. You can have faith in God, but still endure difficult circumstances. Oh, faith doesn't make you exempt from the trials of life. Paul and Silas had faith. There were strong men of God who performed miracles and cast out demons. But if you looked just at their circumstances, it looked like God had abandoned them. From the outside looking in, you could ask, "Where is your God?" And we too can at times feel like this. Because of the problem, because of the situation, because of the environment we're in, it can sometimes feel like God no longer has His hand over our lives. But here's the beauty of our Lord. Sometimes our circumstances test our faith with the aim of building and strengthening us as children of God. Sometimes our circumstances are actually opportunities. Opportunities for us to witness the wonder-working power of the Lord. The test can be there simply to serve as a reminder that God can make a way where there seems to be no way. So I encourage you, should you find yourself in a season that's left you wondering, "Is God punishing me?" Just be encouraged by the story of Paul and Silas. When there looks to be no way out, when you're in a position of weakness and isolation and pain even, do what Paul and Silas did. Pray and praise. Praise and pray. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at midnight, during your darkest hour. Call on the name of Jesus Christ when your circumstances don't match your faith. Maybe you are bound or chained in some area of your life. There is a God who breaks chains and sets captives free. Maybe you're in a dark place and it feels like you're in a prison, but the light that is Jesus Christ can burn away the darkness. In Him, there is freedom. I love that 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 say, we are pressured in every way, hedged in, but not crushed, perplexed, unsure of finding a way out, but not driven to despair, hunted down and persecuted, but not deserted to stand alone, struck down, but never destroyed. So, should you feel pressured by your circumstances, the Lord won't allow you to be crushed. Yes, of course, you will find yourself experiencing situations that will leave you perplexed and scratching your head. But you will never, never be driven to despair. Even though it may feel like tough times are hunting you down and persecuting you, Jesus Christ will never desert you. He will never forsake you. And oh, we've all been struck down at some point. But thank you, Lord Jesus, that you will never leave us to be destroyed. So I encourage you to never let present circumstances overpower your faith. God will make a way when you keep your faith in Him.
No other name in this world has ever had or ever will have the impact that the name of Jesus has. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the risen one, the almighty one. When we speak that name, Jesus, every sickness has to bow. Every disease has to leave. Every chain has to loose. Everything in both heaven and hell has to take notice of His name. So remember this. If you need deliverance, He is a deliverer. If you need an army to protect you, He is the Lord of hosts. He has millions of angels at His command. If you hunger, He is the bread of life. If you thirst, He is the fountain of living water. So remember the name.
I encourage you to never let present circumstances overpower your faith. God will make a way when you keep your faith in Him.
At times, we need to have the presence of mind to realize that the Lord allows, He allows certain things to happen to us. He allows certain events to take place. All so that we can tap into the next level of prayer, our next level of faith. So what you're going through may not be designed to destroy you, but instead to build you. What you're going through isn't intended to ruin you, but instead it's all to strengthen you.
God knows exactly what we need and at what time we need it. We just have to trust Him. We just have to let Him work in the way only He can do. Because we have all the blind spots, areas of our life that are unhealthy or toxic to our relationship with God, and we don't even realize it. But in His mercy, God steps in and removes those things for us. And He replaces them with something better. So right now, if you're going through a loss, if you're going through a season of disappointment, consider the possibility that God is answering your prayers in an unconventional way. Consider the possibility that through this loss, He is rearranging your life. Through this loss, He is strengthening you. Through this loss, He is leading you to better. God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want, but He always gives us exactly what we need.
At some point in your life, you have to stand for something. You have to take a stance and say, this I can accept. However, this right here is unacceptable. We do this in our homes. There are people who we trust, people who we know to be honest and of good integrity. And we can welcome those people in and accept them into our homes. And then there are people who we want to keep at a distance. We can love them with the love of Christ from a distance, but it doesn't mean that we can allow them into our homes if we know that their character is questionable. Likewise, if someone attempted to make you do something that is directly against God's word, against what you know to be right, I'm sure that the majority of us would have the boldness to stand up for what is good, for what is pleasing and right to the Lord. Which brings me to the core part of my message today. And this is to encourage you to stand up to the enemy. Absolutely refuse to be intimidated by the devil. Refuse to tolerate his sneaky attacks and temptations. Give no room to Satan. Give him nothing to work with at all. Many of you have lived in fear far too long, and it is time. It's time to live in the power and might of Jesus Christ. No longer should you be a timid, quiet, shaky Christian man or woman just because the devil threatens to make some noise. Don't you know to whom you belong? Don't you know that you were purchased with the precious blood of the Son of God? So it's time. It's time to stand up boldly and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord over your life. That means no devil or demon, no dark force or principality can have a say over your life. God has the final word. I encourage you to stand up for righteousness in a world that is lost. You are an ambassador of the Most High. So stand up to the lies of the enemy. Stand up with the truth of the gospel. Stand up with the strength of the Holy Spirit. Stand up and wage war in the heavenlies through prayer. You must stand up and embrace your identity as a child of God. Now is the time for you to stand firm. Now is the time to be unwavering. You need to have a strong foundation. A foundation built on the very word of God. In order to have a firm foundation, you must know the word of God for yourself and know what it says about you. Know that it tells you in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
It can be so easy to give in to worry, fear, and despair when you aren't convinced in who you are in the Lord. It is in Jesus that we can find strength. It's in him that you can find victory. So to the one who may possibly be stuck in a tough spot, I would like to tell you that Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Be persuaded by the word of God.
When there looks to be no way out, when you're in a position of weakness and isolation and pain even, do what Paul and Silas did. Pray and praise. Praise and pray. Praise him in the morning. Praise him at midnight, during your darkest hour. Call on the name of Jesus Christ when your circumstances don't match your faith. Maybe you are bound or chained in some area of your life. There is a God who breaks chains and sets captives free. Maybe you're in a dark place and it feels like you're in a prison, but the light that is Jesus Christ can burn away the darkness. In Him, there is freedom. I love that 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 say, "We are pressured in every way, hedged in, but not crushed, perplexed, unsure of finding a way out, but not driven to despair, hunted down and persecuted, but not deserted to stand alone, struck down, but never destroyed." So, should you feel pressured by your circumstances, the Lord won't allow you to be crushed. Yes, of course, you will find yourself experiencing situations that will leave you perplexed and scratching your head. But you will never, never be driven to despair. Even though it may feel like tough times are hunting you down and persecuting you, Jesus Christ will never desert you. He will never forsake you. And oh, we've all been struck down at some point. But thank you, Lord Jesus, that you will never leave us to be destroyed.
This race we're in, it's a race for our salvation. It's a race to the finish line, which is eternity with Jesus. Now, it's not an easy race. It's not a short race either. They say that if you're going to be a long-distance runner, you begin the race in your mind. Preparation for a long run begins way before your feet hit the ground. Everything you eat and drink, it all counts. And those steps are designed to build your endurance. So as we run the good race of faith, we need to remember that our endurance also involves our mind, the renewal of our mind, a mind fixated on the end goal, which is eternity with Jesus. And to endure, we need the Word of God. The Word of God that builds endurance in our faith. The Word of God that gives strength to our spirit man. So enduring as a Christian means much more than just putting up with trials or adversity. And I say this because as children of God, we need to not just focus on what's in front of us, but we need to be aware of the fiery darts the enemy throws. Darts of doubt, guilt, and condemnation. We need to be aware of who's around us. What's their spirit? Will they trip me up? Or will they be pace setters and encourage me and push me to run towards God? Endurance. The spirit which can bear things, not with resignation, but with unwavering hope in God. So keep your eyes on God. Find the strength to endure in prayer and the Word of God. Work hard to strengthen your faith. Sin weighs heavy on you in this race, so overcome it and keep moving. Each day, make a step that brings you closer to Jesus. The end of the line is eternity with the Father, so run your race. Wait on the Lord so that you may run and not be weary. Run and get closer to Jesus.
What you feed will grow. What you feed always grows. It is a principle of God. Feed your faith. Grow your faith. Make a conscious decision to starve all doubts. Starve insecurity. Starve fear. Don't dwell on those thoughts, but focus on feeding your faith. Imagine hearing this daily. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Luke 10, verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Exodus 14, verse 14. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Imagine what that could do to and for your faith if you were to meditate on it and hear it daily. Faith is vital for a believer. Faith pleases God. In the book of Hebrews, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So faith is important to all of us. As a child of God, you have the Word of God available to you, so tap into that. Build your faith so that it moves mountains. Imagine getting to heaven and realizing that the faith you had available on earth was so powerful, but you never truly tapped into it. So from today, make a decision to grow your faith, a decision to be blind to what you see and use the faith of God to be your vision. It may look hopeless now, but have faith that Jesus Christ delivers. You may be desperate now. Have faith God will provide. Maybe there looks to be no way out. Have faith that God will make a way when there seems to be no way. When the doctors give you a report that isn't what you want to hear, have faith that God is your healer. When you're emotionally wounded, God, the Holy Spirit, is your comforter. Live by the words of the song that says, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Grow your faith. Live by faith.
But if there's one thing to come to terms with in life, it's the reality that life is unpredictable. But here's the thing. I am so grateful for the fact that in this ever-changing life, we have a never-changing God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He doesn't change. He healed thousands of years ago on this earth, and he still heals today. He loved those considered to be unlovable, those considered to be outcasts and rejects, and he still loves those same people today. He spoke the words, peace be still, and the storm bowed down. And I believe he can and will speak those very same words in the middle of your storm today. That's why when life happens, you can stand strong in the Lord. Don't allow life's challenges to shake your faith in God. Stand strong in the Lord. Stand and let him fight your battles. He has promised that the deep waters won't drown us. And when we go through the fire, we will not be burnt. So whether you're in the lion's den today or facing Pharaoh tomorrow, stand strong in your deliverer who is Jesus. We can trust him. We can rely on him. We can depend, learn, and stand strong in the Lord. But I'm not saying it will be easy. I'm not saying it won't be tough. But with God, it's possible.
In Mark chapter 10, we're introduced to a blind beggar who sat by a certain road begging. Now, when he heard that Jesus was in the area, he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus could have easily felt discouraged by the people who wanted to shut him up, but he wasn't moved by their indifference or their lack of empathy. Instead, he had his eyes fixed on Jesus and was determined to have an encounter with him. After Jesus asked Bartimaeus what he wanted, he replied that he wanted to receive his sight. Jesus healed him and his sight was restored immediately. And so the question for us is, what do Job and Bartimaeus teach us? How can we follow their example? Every single one of us has experienced heartache, loss, tragedy, or a challenging period in our lives. Maybe you lost your job and are struggling financially, or you're dealing with broken relationships within your family. Maybe you lost someone you love due to an illness or a disaster, or you've been hurt by people that you thought cared about you and loved you. Maybe everything that you had planned did not work out, and instead you seem to experience one failure after another. As hard as it seems, do not let go of God. If your marriage is in trouble, hold on to God. If the world around you seems to be falling apart, hold on to the Lord. Yes, the future is uncertain. It's unknown. But you should still hold on to Jesus. Regardless of what comes, regardless of who doesn't come, hold on to the Lord, because He will get you through it all.
When the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, after having been delivered from Egypt, they began to complain about food and water. They began to accuse Moses of bringing them out into the wilderness to die, and some even proposed going back to Egypt. How quickly people forget. How quickly we forget all that the Lord has done. I mean, for the children of Israel, didn't God just lead you out of captivity from one of the most powerful empires on the planet? Didn't God just sack the most well-equipped army of that time without lifting a sword? Didn't God just prove His superiority to the gods of Egypt with 10 miraculous plagues? How quickly we forget what God has done. How quickly we forget where God has brought us from. Like the children of Israel, all we need to do is look back on what God has already done for us. Look back on where God has brought us from. Look back on how God has brought us to this point in time. When we remember, then we can move forward in power and confidence that God hasn't brought us this far to leave us now.